I'm visiting here with John Klein. He is the Corn Replacement Feed and Forage Products Business Manager for ADM Alliance Nutrition. And John, we're going to talk about one of the products that you all offer, which is called ADM Second Crop. Let's start right there, talking about what kind of a product is this, first of all.
Actually, Second Crop is a title that we've given to a process of treating crop residue with an alkaline slurry. And what we actually do is it got the title Second Crop because of harvesting your grain, and then you go in and you take your corn stalks or your wheat straw or other non-legume forage and bale it up. And then we work with the local commercial tub grinders and work with the producer and set up and coordinate a day that we're actually going to bring the equipment out to actually treat the corn stalks or wheat straw and then basically turn it into a better quality feed. It's been research proven several times over. One thing that with the second crop process, I know there's other people have attempted to go out into the market and do this, and we've really focused in on trying to make the process as efficient as it can possibly be. And because of that, we've been able to keep our costs down and get a lot of stuff done in one day. In fact, I think the most we've actually got done in one day was somewhere around 1,000 tons of wet feed with that 50% moisture. So turning the feed into a lot better quality. The other thing is, you know, we use this with our byproducts. And when you start looking at the total dollars that a farmer can save by doing this, you know, you look at bales getting harvested in the fall. And quite honestly, we've got bales that are setting out today that have had so much rain on them that they start to deteriorate really fast. So it's also kind of another opportunity to store this in a different fashion that ultimately saves you money because you're not seeing the shrink loss and the waste on the bales.
Well, let's run us through the process. You know, what are the steps that you go through? Because I know that, like you're saying, one of those, it's kind of the end result there, is that you are able to store this if it's done properly for many months.
Yeah, the ideal situation would be as the forage is coming off the field, whether it's round bales, square bales, whatever, the ultimate thing would be to set up so that you could deliver directly to the tub grinder. And as he's grinding it, we're treating it, so we're adding moisture in the lime slurry to that and bringing that final product up to 50 to 60% moisture. You pack it just like you do corn silage. You can put it in ag bags. You can blow it in harvesters. A lot of different ways that you can handle it, but ultimately it needs to be packed and put into an anaerobic state. So we take the oxygen away. And you're going to keep it just like you do a corn silage pile.
Mm-hmm.
And when you put co-product with it, it's actually a corn silage replacement. So there's some neat things with it, you know, and ultimately, if your byproducts are typically 85% the price of corn, and if we look at ADM's history, that kind of holds true. You know, yeah, we were at 135% the price of corn back in December, but typically it goes back the other way most of the time in the summer. So we're probably looking at byproduct prices being substantially lower than corn today. And you know, so that you look at the whole year, if we're averaging 85% the price of corn, that's probably pretty close. And so if we've got guys out there wanting to combine 200 bushel corn silage this year or better, and you start looking at even corn stalks and byproduct to replace that 200 bushel corn silage, there's usually a pretty substantial savings.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, you start looking at it that way, you know, one of the issues that we see in cow-calf diets is, you know, get 220 bushel corn in the corn silage, how much silage are you going to be able to feed the animal? Where you can feed corn stalks that are treated or wheat straw and adjust your byproduct to get you the energy point that you need without overfeeding a cow. And the other thing is, cows still need a little bit of protein, and so there's an advantage to having the byproduct in there. And when we look at finishing cattle and backgrounding cattle, we get, at some point, if you're feeding corn silage and distillers and possibly a liquid feed or something, you're getting your ration pretty wet. So, or if you got high moisture corn in there. So, you know, you look at corn silage versus treated stocks, were a little bit drier. So there's some other things, you know, a lot of different things that come into what the value of it is. And the best way to figure that out is to get with an ADM rep or call myself, and we can sit down and evaluate your operation and see if it's going to fit. You know, we just need to really look and see what the costs are. And that includes, you know, how much shrink loss is on those bales, how many net wrap broke, how many times you handle those bales. So, you know, it all comes back into the cost.
Well, when you talk about the using your second crop process as a feed option, from a percentage standpoint, I mean, how much feed potentially can you replace by using this kind of treated residue?
It depends on what class of animal you're feeding it to, whether it's a dairy heifer, a cow-calf operation, a feedlot, backgrounder. You know, you're going to be anywhere from 7% all the way up to 80%, as fed. And a lot of it is dependent on what the other feedstuffs are. So, again, you know, it's something that you really need to sit down and evaluate what makes the most sense and come up with a good plan.
So when you're going through the process with your customer there, maybe it's on location at their farm, you mentioned, you know, additives, maybe some mineral products. Is that an opportunity to kind of combine a couple different processes together at once?
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, depending on, again, what the rest of the diet is made up of, you know, we've got a second crop mineral that's designed specifically for that product. We've got amino gain products that we use to balance out the amino acids on backgrounding and finishing cattle. You know, so there's other packages that have been put together with this, designed specifically to be fed with second crop.
Mm-hmm.
The one other comment that I would make is, you know, when we start looking at the overall nutritional profile, you know, that's when these things start to become fairly critical, and we need to make sure we've got the right product in there.
Well, let's see here. Then, is there anything else about this whole concept of treating residue and, you know, whether it's through the second crop process that you'd kind of like farmers and cattlemen to know about?
Yeah, you know, there was a 4-year research study that was done. Oh, it was part of the Renewable Fuels Act, if I remember correctly, that looked at yields on corn. This is just on corn, and it was done in Boone, Iowa, and another one over in Illinois. I can't remember the specific location. But in a 4-year study, they saw that partial removal of corn stover, which we don't want to get too aggressive about removing it because we need it, but it improved yield, I believe it was 15 to 17 bushel. And so, well, even with $3 corn, you know, that's substantial. And the other thing that we realized is what's gone on in the last 10 years. You know, we went from raising 150 bushel corn to raising up to 300 bushel corn. And the equipment manufacturers are struggling to get equipment that can actually put that much material back into the soil. So when you're corn on corn like that 4-year study was, what are you going to do with all the residue? And they think that there's, you know, we work with Monsanto on some different projects, and they think they can raise 400 bushel corn. But if you've got that much residue, you're going to have to remove it in order to get to those numbers. So there's an advantage to the row crop producer to taking off some of their residue. Maybe they don't have livestock, but they could possibly sell those bales, and quite honestly, it's going to pay them back to take it off. So, you know, those are things that we're starting to discover through this long research process that we've been involved in. I think Mike Cicada, one of our research people over at Decatur, I think he started on this project in 2007, if I remember correctly. And, you know, we've learned a tremendous amount of stuff, things that need to be done with this program, and why you're doing the way that we suggest. So we've collected a lot of information. And, you know, when we start looking at the differences between corn stalks versus wheat straw, there's a substantial advantage to wheat straw. And I think it just goes back to the less variability of the product to begin with. When you look at corn stalks, you've got shuck, leaf, cob, stalk, top of the plant, midrib. You got all these different components of the plant itself that react different to the alkaline treatment. So there's things that we're learning in the hybrid, and how thick the corn was planted, how heavy the stalk is, and all that comes into play. And that's why on corn stalks, you'll see a lot more variability.
Interesting. Very interesting. Well, we'll direct people to, I believe it's admsecondcrop.com if they want to get more information about this process. And John, thank you very much for visiting with me.
Sure. There's on that website that you referenced, there's a cost calculator that customers can go in and put their cost in. Those costs are put in on a dry matter basis, so make sure that you're taking the moisture back out of your corn silage or whatever that you're plugging into there. That way they can kind of get an estimate if it's something that they might want to look at. Give us a call and we can kind of walk them through it too.
All right. Well, thank you for your time, John. That's John Klein with ADM Alliance Nutrition, and I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.